So last week we started looking at Are You Ready? And we looked at the 10 virgins, the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew 25, and being prepared. We talked about the fact we don't know the hour when Jesus is going to return. We talked about the fact that you need the oil. You need enough of the presence of God in your life. You need to be searching the Word, spending time in prayer, coming to church, getting yourself together with God. And this week we're going to move into the next parable, actually. I hadn't realized this when I put this together. I was thinking about how we present that being ready. These parables follow on from one another, interestingly. It's the next parable in Matthew 25, funnily enough. Jesus knew what he was doing, didn't he, really, when he was talking about these things. We don't need to add too much, but there we go. So we're going to move into that. And this week, last week we were saying, are you prepared? Maybe this week the question should be, what are you doing while you wait? What are you doing while you wait? Have you ever wondered that question, what could have been? Maybe you've had regrets in your own life. Maybe there's people you've known, someone who everyone said had so much potential. They were great with people. They were a gifted musician or a sharp mind, one of these things or all of these things. But maybe fear or distraction or comfort meant that they never, nothing ever came of it. It never became the potential it could have been. Not because they couldn't, but maybe because they didn't. Sad, isn't it? I was looking up, who's a good example of this? And actually, that's why I put a footballer here. George Best. You know George Best? He was a really incredible footballer, okay? One of the most naturally gifted footballers in the world. He played for Manchester United, and he won what's called the Ballon d'Or. I don't really know what that is. Those of you who are footballers may know. At just 22. Incredible, hey? And he was described by Pelé. Now, I know who Pelé is. I, in fact, have a Brazil T-shirt with his name on the back. Woo, Brazil. Anyway, he was described by Pelé as the greatest player in the world. That's high praise from Pelé, isn't it? Hey, because many describe him as the greatest player in the world. And his ability was extraordinary. However, fame, excess, and the lack of discipline overtook his calling. Training was neglected, commitments were missed, and his career ended far earlier than it should have done. And he said himself, I spent a lot of money on booze, birds, and fast cars. The rest I just squandered. Isn't that so sad? Yeah, what he could have been. The tragedy of that is not that he failed, is that we never really truly saw what he could be. And the story of this parable this week is very similar. It's the same kind of thing. It's about what could be and what are we using. And so we're going to read it, Matthew 25, and starting at, let me find it in my own Bible, starting at verse 14, okay? So Matthew 25, starting at verse 14 to 20. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more bags. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who'd received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who'd received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I've gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come, share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I've gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who'd received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you've not scattered. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See here what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with bankers, so that when I returned, I'd have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Sorry, that's not nice, is it? And we could avoid those things in the Bible, but they're there. What do we do about that? We need to take these things Jesus said and study them and understand them. So firstly, I'm going to say, use what you have been given. Or maybe the question is, are you using what you have been given? Now, if you look at verse 15, it said that each servant was given according to his ability. We're great at looking at other people and wishing we had what they had, aren't we? Have you ever done that? I wish I was as gifted at them at playing the piano. I mean, I'm a rubbish. I look at Danny, I think, I wish I could play the piano like him. You know, I can't. I can play it a little bit. You wouldn't want to listen to my piano playing. Anyway, we look at other people, don't we? And we go, oh, I wish I had that or I had the other. But you see, the thing is, it was not about the amount they were given. It was about their ability to use it. Their ability, okay? What talents or abilities do you have? And each of us, that will look different, won't it? Because, I don't know, my kids sometimes say this thing, you're built different. You know, it's a bit of a saying, isn't it? They're built different. When they do a particular thing and they're great at it, oh, look at him, he's built different. And it's a great saying, actually. You know, some of these modern things, I'm sounding old, aren't I? But some of these things we hear, we go, oh, goodness me, like an unk. I don't know whether you know what an unk is, but this is a new saying, even from younger people than Gen Z, for calling old people boring and dull, unks. Anyway, that's a new one for you. So I don't like that saying, but this one about being built different, okay, is powerful. And the fact is that we are all built different. There are things that you can do that no one else can do in a way that only you can do them. And that's true for all of us. Now, you might look at that and go, oh, well, it's very small. Like, you might feel like you're the guy with one bag of gold. But it doesn't matter. God's not looking at how much. He's looking at what you do with what you have. Yes? And to God, he loves us all equally. It's not about our ability or our potential or who we are. It's about what we do with what we have. Now, two of the servants responded quickly, didn't they? They show themselves ready. And they're faithful with what they've been given. They use it with readiness. Are we faithful with what we've been given? And how do we use it? And I'm not talking about just for ourselves. I'm talking about for the kingdom, for an eternal purpose. How are we using the gifts that God has given us? What has God put in your hands? This reminds me of that story of Moses, actually. Moses was told by God, what do you have in your hand? And it was his staff. And God said, throw it on the ground. And it was when it turned into a snake. And he said, take it up again. And so we have all been given something in our hand. And it might look just like an old stick or something. But God can take what seems ordinary. We were singing that. You do miracles so great. He can take what looks ordinary and make it supernatural, make it miraculous, make it powerful for his kingdom. Amen. And so what do you have in your hand? Really, it's about the stewardship of the things you've been given. Because in fact, we've only been given things for this life. And eventually, we will meet Jesus. And so whatever we think we own, hold it lightly, because tomorrow we might not have it. And you have to go, okay, God's given me this, I must use it well. Now, just a bit of an off thing. When I was in the school, we looked at a thing about the environment. I don't know what you think about the environment and climate change and all that stuff. But there was a book that I'd use with the students called Green Like God. And it talked about the fact that there's two things in Scripture. It says, rule over and subdue creation, yeah? But it also says in Scripture, tend for and take care of. In other words, we're given creation, and as such, yes, we're given authority over it, which has been, you know, passed down to us from God. We're supposed to steward creation, but in that there's a taking care of, not just stripping the world of all the stuff. You know, my thing is I hate the plastic pollution in the world, the stuff we see in the sea. You know, how can we change those things? But the point being that I'd talk to students about that and I'd say, well, it's about stewarding creation. And a lot of them didn't even know what that word meant, and you had to explain. And maybe this morning you don't understand that. What it means is you're given something by God, and it's precious, and you have it for a period of time. But one day, you'll have to pass it back. And what have you done with what you've been given? You know, I think about that with children, my kids. You know, they're not really mine. They're a gift from God. And I'm a steward trying to lead them to his purpose, to independence, to growth, to become the people God made them to be. And one day they'll go and do their thing, and please God, that'll be right for them. And I'll be able to release them into that. And I'm a steward, aren't I? And there's so many things we could think about that, okay? But here's a great scripture. If you're unsure, well, that's not me, I'm not that gifted. Here's a scripture, Ephesians 2:10. I put it at the bottom there. I love this scripture. For we are God's handiwork. If you're God's handiwork, go, yes! Come on, right, ready? Yes, I'm God's handiwork. Amen? Okay, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Wow. Isn't that amazing? You are God's handiwork. He looks at you and goes, that one's amazing. That's a chip off the old block. You're incredible. Next time you look in the mirror and you get up in the morning and go, oh, look, I'm looking so old. Say, I'm God's handiwork. Yeah? Okay, instead of using what you have faithfully, are you waiting for something else? Are you waiting for the gift that you think you really should have but you don't have? This morning, be faithful with what you've already got, with what you've already... My English is going bad. Be faithful with what you already have because God has given it you. And when you're faithful with your little, he will give you more, yeah? That's the point of this story, isn't it, as well? That if you're faithful with what you have. And this morning, just a reminder here as well. Last year, we were doing stuff about gifts and discipleship. And part of that is being a good steward of your relationship with God. And are you being effectively discipled? So if you're not in a life group, if you're not mentored, we'll come back to you hopefully this week. I've been talking to some of you about possibly being a mentor. But we'll come back with a list of people who might be available if you need that help to grow in your faith, to develop, okay? Don't forget those things. Be with Jesus. Become like Jesus. Do what Jesus did. Maybe you need to join a life group. Maybe you're thinking, oh, actually, there's not one in this area. Maybe I could start one. Maybe some of you are being challenged about that. We need to be effective disciples and effectively discipling. So when all these new people are going to get saved in these times, which I believe is going to happen, by the way, we're ready, yeah? So let's prepare. Let's prepare. So next slide, please. Fear buries, faith invests. What a great title. Fear buries the things that we've been given because we're afraid. Faith invests those things, believing God will use them. The third servant wasn't necessarily lazy. I mean, he might have been a hard worker. He was given this extra thing. Maybe he'd got a great job and everything else was hunky-dory, but God had given him this thing, and he just buried it. And he did it because he was afraid. Verse 25, I was afraid. How many of us see God as a harsh taskmaster? Maybe we have a distorted view of God, and that leads us to inactivity because we think, oh, what if I mess up? God's going to be on my back. Do we see God like that? Do we see him as him waiting and watching? Oh, look, he's about to fail. I'm going to strike him with lightning. That's not God. That's not our God. He's a good father. Now, some people struggle with the concept of a father because maybe they've had a difficult father, a harsh father, a father who hasn't shown love and kindness, who hasn't stewarded well. But your Father in heaven is different. It says in Scripture, doesn't it? Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will not. He is completely good, just, loving, kind. Don't compare him to an earthly father. And so therefore, he's looking and he's going, I'm cheering you on. I've got your back. I want you to see yourself succeed because I made you and I know what you're capable of. Isn't that good? Isn't that amazing? Fear of failure, criticism or risk can produce that paralysis, that thing of I'm going to stand in a place and I'm not going to move forward. Okay? And so here's the application for you. Are you hiding because of past fear, past hurt, comparison, perfectionism, all of those things? Are you hiding away? What would obedience look like if you weren't being controlled by fear? I'll tell you a little story, actually. In my own life, I might not have been here because just before I left Brazil, I was in the place of, well, I've been teaching and I feel like I'm getting a bit dry at teaching. I'm not sure anyone really wants me in ministry. I think I should just go back to being in chemistry. I've written this book and I've only sold a few. Maybe that book, and I've kind of hidden the book. Because in my own self, I was thinking, maybe I should just... Fear was driving me because I was like, I really don't know if I step out again because look at the things that have happened in life and I'm not sure. And I'm like... And it was a struggle. It was about, where do you want me, God? You know, and we all have to go through those moments. Maybe you've come to a place where you feel like you've hit a wall. You've done things for God, and you've done them for God, maybe even. And you've gone, I've stepped out, and I've moved into this and that and the other, but look where I am now. But that doesn't mean that your past dictates your future, does it? It doesn't mean that when you step into the next thing, it will be the place where God opens the doors, does it? Okay, and so for me, that was that place, but God opened a door. A friend said to me, Matt, it would be a great shame if you didn't use the experiences of life God has given you and your giftings for his purpose. And then sure enough, the email came, we had that conversation, here I am. And I tell you, I love being here. God is at work in this area as well, not just in this church. Friday night, we had a joint prayer meeting, and we had five churches represented, and we had a wonderful time seeking God together. You know, Christine had a word on prayer meeting on Tuesday night, that as we get that unity together, maybe there's been a cloud over Huntingdon, but as we come together, that's going to get pushed away. Because unity commands a blessing of God. Yesterday morning, I was blessed to go to a men's prayer breakfast. Churches together, still under that banner. We don't really officially have it. But it was wonderful. There were about 30 guys there from different churches. A lot of them older guys, a couple of younger guys. But isn't that wonderful that these guys can come together for a breakfast to hear about God? And so God is at work. Don't let your fear stop you from stepping into the things God has for you as part of this church, but individually as well. Amen? Wow. God is here, isn't he, this morning? This life's preparation, guys. Final point. This life is preparation. That connects back to what we were saying last week. It says in the scripture, we read in verse 19, after a long time, the master returned. You can connect that to those five ladies who weren't ready, those five attendants of the bride. When the bridegroom came, they didn't have enough oil. They weren't ready. He came back. This story, a similar thing. After a long time, the master returned. And there will be a return. There is a waiting. So what are you doing while you're waiting? But there will be an end. There is coming an end. Now, it might not be in our lifetime. I mean, we don't know, but there will be an end. And the delay is not wasted time. It's time that is entrusted to you. Okay? I remember a dear friend of mine who used to say, nothing is wasted. I felt at periods in life, well, that was a waste. Or doing that was pointless or whatever. But actually, when you look back, even those things that seem like they were a waste can be something that's turned around for God's good, yeah? And so the time you are given is time that is entrusted to you, okay? I don't know whether you felt that moment of being in limbo sometimes. You're kind of stepping into something, but it hasn't happened, and so you're just waiting, and it's difficult, isn't it? It can feel unsettling. If that ever happens, or if you're in that place right now, I'd like to say to you, use that time as preparation. See it as preparation. okay, I'm not quite doing what I think God wants me to do, and it feels like an uneasy, difficult place. It's preparation. Everything is, really. And so use that time of limbo, that time of waiting. What we do now will matter then. What we do in this life will matter then. Do you know what frustrates me a lot when I look at the world? So many people go, we don't know how long we've got, so live each day like it's your last. And the implication of that is do what you like. Go and get bladdered. Sorry, that's a bad expression. But you know what I mean. Go and do the stuff that's just fun, might have consequences, might be destructive for you, but just do it anyway because tomorrow might all be over. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Those kind of, that mindset is out there, isn't it? You know, just enjoy. But actually, we need to change that mindset. We need to live life well now so that we will live eternity well. And that doesn't mean doing whatever you want. It means living for God. And by the way, that doesn't mean it'll be boring. It means it'll be one of the greatest adventures you can have, with its challenges, with its difficulties. But yes, you'll know God's with you through it. Amen? I keep saying amen. So, let's just show the contrast with last week briefly. So the virgins, their readiness was shown by having oil ready, by being prepared, by having enough oil. This week, really, the readiness is shown by your investment. How are you investing your gifts, your talents, what God has been giving you? We are preparing for eternity by how faithfully we're living today. Faithfulness is not really a thing in society now, is it? We don't really understand what it is to be faithful. And we live in a cancel culture as well, don't we? Where everyone goes, oh, well, I'm going to give up on that. That person did that. They're cancelled. Whatever. Faithfulness means we stick with things. We carry on with things, even when it's hard. And being faithful is so important. And faithfulness will be rewarded. I didn't put this on the slide. Never mind. Faithfulness will be rewarded. Yeah, I put that, but I didn't put the scripture, which says, you've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Hallelujah. Eternity will move us deeper and closer to God, and how we've stewarded that relationship now will dictate what happens then. Yes? Because I want to meet Jesus and go, yeah, I know you. I don't want to meet him living in fear. Excuse me a moment. I've got running eyes. Okay, how we live now will dictate how we live then. And we want to be in that right place. And this morning as well, I want to challenge you. If you're not focusing on your relationship with God, if you've not even asked him into your heart properly and said, Jesus, I want you to be Lord, do that this morning. He died for you to take everything on himself that you might be forgiven and given eternal life. And it would be remiss of me not to challenge you again this morning to enter that relationship. Because all that other stuff that gone before isn't relevant unless you've done that first. And so you need to come into that place in a relationship with God. And here's my response now. Yes, thank you. And I'm not going to go back over what I've said. Simple challenge this morning, and here it is. The question is not what talent do I have, but have you buried it? Have you buried something that you need to resurrect, let's say, or dig out the ground and go, okay, God said it, I'm going to go with it, I'm going to believe him for it, I'm going to walk forward. Is fear, burying your faith, or is faith investing in your life? In other words, are there fears that are stopping you stepping into the things of God, or are you going, I'm going to take a risk, I'm going to invest, I'm going to take a step of faith and invest my life? Maybe this morning, I want you to think and pray. What is one thing? Just one thing, maybe. You might have more than one, but one thing. Maybe there's a gift, something God has given you, an ability. Maybe it's a calling. Maybe God is calling you into a certain type of ministry. Maybe it's just a step of obedience. Maybe it's like, you know, God's saying, get up and have your prayer time, and you've been avoiding it. Maybe it's something simple like that. But this morning, my challenge is, how will you respond? You've heard a lot from me. How are you going to respond to what God is saying to you today. And this morning, if God has spoken to you, and if you feel the need to respond, I think I'm going to invite the worship band up. I think I'm going to keep going. I want you to feel you can step forward, and one of us will pray with you. Maybe we could move into a song, and we'll pray with you over that step of obedience, whatever it needs to be this morning, as we sing a song together. I'm going to pray, and then we'll have that song. And if God has spoken to you and you feel the need to come and have prayer, Trevor, myself, Christine are available to pray. You might have someone you know you can pray with right where you are. Maybe you just want to sit next to that person and pray together. You can do that. But don't let this moment pass without making that response this morning to God. Let's pray. Father God, this morning, you've been here by your Spirit. We've already felt you as we worshipped. We've handed over those difficult situations, those things that we know you can work miracles over. But Lord, too, we want to be good stewards. And so just now, as we sing, as we move into this song, if there's something that you need to speak into our lives, do in our lives, help us to respond to you in the way that you need us to. If that's in our seat, praying with a friend, if that's coming forward, if that's just making our own response in our heart to you this morning, help us to make it so that we can be the people who are prepared, the people who are ready for you. So Lord, just come by your Holy Spirit now and help us to make that response just now as we sing. Amen. Thank you.